Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to Service Business Mastery Podcast, and I'm here with Ben Middleton. He's the national sales trainer with Goodman, Manna, and Daikin. And so excited to talk to you about everything that we're going to talk about. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It's a real privilege to be here, and I'm glad to be able to talk with your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd like to talk a little bit about SEER 2. Because that's something that Josh and I have talked about, Josh, mm-hmm. my co-host, and I have friends of mine who are asking, like, benefit, downplay. You actually did a presentation on it yesterday, which was amazing. I happened to be sitting right in the back of the room and taking notes and taking pictures of your diagrams and everything. It's how will that affect us? How's that going to affect the industry? Because there's certain things like, so I'm in South Georgia.
Right.
So January 1, no bueno, no more. Like whatever you have, you're done with, you know. So from the contractor side of things, can you share like what your thoughts are? But before we do that, can you share a little bit about you, your background?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I've been in the industry for almost 30 years now. And started out on the contracting side. I was actually going to school for aeronautical engineering, to figure out a way to pay for flight time. And a local HVAC contractor asked, hey, can you help us grow an indoor air quality department?
Oh, yeah.
And this was in the 90s. And I said, sure, that sounds like a lot of fun. started to research and learn a lot about indoor air quality. And we built that division. That company actually happened to be owned by a company called Service Experts. And so then I moved into more of a comfort advisor role, started selling a lot of furnaces and air conditioners, and they asked if I would start doing training for all of the other contractors that we had on both the CSG side at the time and Service Experts. And so I started doing a lot of the sales training, business development training, and just had an absolute blast working with that group.
That is really cool. And now how long ago was that?
So that was in the 90s all the way through the early 2000s.
Okay.
Then I got married. I was doing a lot of traveling and just decided, hey, this isn't good for being newly
relationship.
Married, being gone all the time. And so I came back to Wisconsin, actually went and helped a friend start his heating and air conditioning company. Had a lot of fun doing that. And so I've been in a couple of brand new HVAC startups throughout my career.
So you've experienced it as a startup and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we did that for a while. Then Air Advice had reached out to me and said, hey, Ben, we really need some help growing our curriculum for our contractors, teaching them how to sell IAQ better. And that was in my background. And
that's
so
a challenge, I feel like, it for every contractor, or not for every contractor, but a lot of contractors, when it comes to IAQ in general, it's like, here's your 4-inch media filter, you know?
Well, and what I loved about Air Advice is it actually gave a technician a way to measure what was happening.
Yes.
To be able to do a before and after and see that the solutions they were providing were actually making a difference. And so we had a lot of fun building out that platform with Air Advice and working with contractors. A local distributor and I started talking back and forth. I was doing some consulting for some other distributors, just helping them with their contractors. And I joined that distributor and was with them for about 6 or 7 years. And then Goodman and Manna called me and said, hey, Ben, we want to take our training and our dealer development to the next level.
Yeah.
And so we've been working out. We've been having a lot of fun building the HVAC Learning Campus and providing resources to help the industry be able to grow. And so It's been a fun ride. I've seen the industry from a lot of different perspectives.
You really have, like from the contractor, the startup, the sales, comfort specialist, and all the way into the manufacturer side of things. Like you legit have gone the full gamut.
And so I think that brings just a unique perspective because I can see how different things impact. And so talking about SEER 2 and talking about all of these 2023 regional efficiency standards and how these are going to be enforced differently than when we've gone through these transitions in the past and how that impacts everybody. All of these things are a really big deal.
You know, you mentioned yesterday that back when 10 SEER ran out, you know, how many people in the room bought inventory of 10 SEER and were going to hold on to it? And I was like, man, I have 2 10 SEER York condensing units still in a box in the back corner of a warehouse that's just covered in like spare carpet. And it's like, I bumped into R22, like still got charged with R22. I'm like, how long have these things been sitting here? We lost them. Like, that's crazy. And anyways, I thought that was hilarious when you asked that. But that's not going to be the case this time, correct?
Correct. And so you're definitely going to want to pay attention to our inventory management session that we're going to be doing later this afternoon because we're going to talk about
inventory.
Every contractor has tons of lost and even dead inventory that's sitting in their warehouse. And what do you do with that? And so that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. But I think that coincides with all of these changes that we're going through. You know, the analogy that I talk about all the time is the automobile industry. And I think this, talking about what should a contractor be preparing for is, as we get closer and closer to 2023. Back in the 1970s, most automobile dealerships did not have in-house financing.
Yeah, that's
because
a good point.
Most of the cars, what
you mentioned about that,
were bought cash.
Yeah.
Or if somebody needed a loan, they just went to the bank. The dealership didn't have to deal with it.
Good point.
And what has happened in the automobile industry is what we're going through right now. And you look at all the shifts and changes that have happened in the automobile industry. And so that's, I think, the thing that we have to really look at here as we go forward. Automobiles, they have a couple of different things. One, safety, right?
Yeah.
And so you've seen a lot of safety things be added in there.
You've got the
anti-lock brakes, you've got airbags, you've got seat belts, and many, many other safety requirements that are going into automobiles.
Backup cameras.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so those all add cost, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of it, you've got all of these environmental controls that go into it, right? And so they want to make sure the engines are burning cleaner. There's a minimum miles per gallon that a vehicle can get.
Mention that because I know where you're going to go because you talked about this yesterday. But as soon as you spoke about this yesterday at this event, I was like, this morning I was scrolling aimlessly on Facebook like we all do. And I seen a post where this kid was like, 16 SEER is now 15.2 SEER. And it was a rant about the fact that the same system is now being measured differently. When that happened in the automotive industry, share that story that you mentioned yesterday about that.
Yeah, so I was talking about miles per gallon.
Yeah.
And this was in the early 2000s. Maybe you remember it, maybe you don't, but it was definitely a big shakeup for the automobile industry.
Oh, yeah.
Is they said we're going to change the way we test miles per gallon on a car. So you see, before, they used to go out to a track, and the track was flat, and they would turn the air conditioner off. They would make the vehicle as light as they possibly could, and they would say, okay, we're going to go 60 miles per hour without starting, without stopping, with no incline, with no decline, and that's going to give us our miles per gallon.
Okay.
Well, we all know we don't drive that way.
No.
And so then they came up with a rating, and they put that on. Here's the miles per gallon. You should be able to get on the highway with this particular car. When the federal government came back, they said, hey, we can't do this. It's got to be more realistic. And so you have to stop this many times. You have to accelerate, and you need to, go up a hill and down a hill. And we got to put load on. So you have to have the air conditioner on. And, you know, the way a person really drives a vehicle.
Absolutely.
And that dropped the miles per gallon, right?
Massively. And I purchased my first vehicle, and my dad and I were talking about it. We were talking about vehicles and purchasing and what to pick and everything. He said, just keep in mind that whatever it says on the sticker that your miles per gallon, you probably might get that right when you first get the vehicle, but it's not going to be like that forever. It's not going to be like that for very long at all. Just be aware that that's not the actual miles per gallon. And I was like, I always thought that that was just a scam in general, but at the same time, I understand why they did it, because I mean, that's how everybody else is doing it. So it would be ridiculous to say, hey, really, we get 18 miles a gallon and our competition is saying they get 22 miles a gallon. Right. In reality, they get 18 miles a gallon as well. So how does that correlate with CO2 and air conditioning?
So I guess what I was going in is we have so many regulations that have come into the industry, right?
Yeah.
And so there have been regulations in terms of the ozone layer. And so we've changed refrigerants for that. There's been regulations in terms of minimum efficiency, right?
Mm-hmm.
In essence, what we're doing is we're going from 13 to 14 SEER in the north, and from 14 to 15 SEER in the southeast, and then 14 to 15 SEER with a minimum EER in the southwest. But to your point, the person that was reading, what we're really going to tell customers is we're going from 13 SEER to 13.4 SEER 2. And every customer's gone, what does that? Well, I think the first thing we have to understand, everybody in our industry, SEER makes a lot of sense to us.
Right.
But if you really think about how much consumers know about heating and air conditioning, I had one person, I was sitting in a class, and this was really profound to me. They said, you know, most homeowners know more about funerals and caskets than they do about heating and air conditioning.
That's wild.
And when you think about it,
yeah,
you go to more funerals than you will buy HVAC systems over the course of your lifetime.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that I believe I was told that you the average person will purchase two and a half air conditioning units in their life.
Depending on your region, I've heard the numbers in between two and three.
Okay.
So you probably go to more than two or three funerals over the course of your lifetime.
Absolutely.
But if you think about it, how much do you really know about funerals or caskets?
True.
We don't know that much about it. And so we get hung up as an industry on SEER ratings.
We
get hung up on an industry with AFUE.
It becomes a buzzword.
It does, and makes sense to us in the industry, but
right,
to consumers, it really doesn't make that big of a deal.
But the biggest challenge, and as a comfort specialist, mm-hmm, I want your take on this too. Whenever you're competing against someone and they're like, I want a 15 SEER. And like, why do you want a 15 SEER? Well, that's what this guy presented. He presented
right,
this man of 15 SEER, this Goodman 15 SEER. Okay, but why do you want the 15 SEER? I don't know. He just told me 15 SEER is good. Okay, well then what about a 16 SEER? Because we can get you a two-stage 16 SEER with a lifetime warranty
right,
on the
consumer. Right.
You know, and you can have that conversation, but then they're like, huh? Like, I mean, if we're going to go SEER rating, let's go the highest we can go. So
what the consumer wants is they want some protection, right? They want to be able to compare apples to apples.
Yeah.
And so when that person comes out and says, I'm quoting you 15 SEER, 16 SEER, 20 SEER, whatever it is that they're quoting them, that consumer just wants to know they're getting apples to apples.
Well, what happens when we put it in and it's actually a 7 SEER?
Right.
Because we put it on trash ductwork.
And so this is the big challenge that we're going to be moving into as we go into this new regulatory standards, is the industry is going to be required to put in AHRI match systems.
So it's great if your vendor sends you your price book with the AHRI number
right,
on it. That's amazing. But if they don't, then it can be a challenge, I guess.
Well, and it's no secret there's been supply chain issues, right?
A massive one, yeah.
And so now think about it from the contracting perspective, the distributor perspective. We have all, as an industry, and I'll be talking about this afternoon, we've moved to this just-in-time inventory model.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of contractors are not holding a lot of inventory anymore, and they're expecting their distributor to hold all the inventory. Well, that puts you in a vulnerable spot, because when you have these huge supply chain disruptions, when you have these huge price fluctuations that we've been walking through, it impacts your margins, it impacts your ability to be able to do business. And so when we look at this new regulation, there's been a lot of contractors that have said, hey, I need a 3-ton condenser for this customer. And the distributor may say, okay, I've got a 3-ton condenser, but I don't have the coil that you need.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. In that scenario, it's been, well, in my price book, this is my coil, this is my condenser. Yep. We're a heat pump market, so this is my air handler, this is my condenser, and then that's what matches up. Oh, well, we have this air handler in stock. Well, do you have an AHRI number on that combination? And maybe they do, maybe they don't. So it becomes a, oh, sorry, I can't sell you a system because we don't have a matching number system.
And now the contractor is going to be required to keep records, and they have to keep those records for 4 years of every piece of equipment that they've sold and all of the HRI matches.
So tell me this, is it going to be legit tracking, or is it going to be like refrigerant tracking that, yeah, I keep track of all of my refrigerant.
Your logs.
Refrigerant logs. I don't know a single person who has ever had one inspected before. You know what I mean? And so then it becomes like, am I doing this for a reason? Or is it because, is this like hocus pocus that somebody's saying that you're supposed to do this?
And that's the big million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
Because you can make all the rules you want, but the question is, what is the penalty if I don't, and then how do they enforce it?
Exactly.
And just like your refrigerant logs that you're talking about, there is a hotline that you could have a disgruntled employee call, and they could say, hey, the owner of my company, I know they're not following the correct practices, and give me my $10,000 check for turning them in.
Yeah.
You could have potentially a building inspector do that. You could have a homeowner do that. You could have anybody could call that hotline.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the challenges, almost everybody assumes that the contractor is doing their logs, or the service tech that knows that he's not doing the logs. Guess who's ultimately responsible in that case? It's not the business owner, right? It's the person that holds the EPA
license.
Card.
Yeah.
And so is the service tech going to turn themselves in?
Right. No.
And so I think that's one of the challenges. In this scenario, it is the owner that has to keep these logs.
Okay.
And so could you have an employee that says, hey, there's no skin off my back, but I know we're not putting match systems in, and I'm mad at them today because I'm leaving.
How, in your opinion, how involved do you believe technicians are to even know how to search for the AHRI number?
Well, let's face it, the HRI directory is not a easy process.
No, it's not.
If anybody ever has gone to the HRI directory and tried to find the matchups, it can be frustrating.
The last time I did it, I was trying to match a train system, and I was like, oh, screw this. I sent an email to my TM. I was like, hey, I need that number because
right?
I'm not doing this process.
And I talked to TMs, too, that have the same exact issue. I think, you know, who knows what it means when you have all of these new IRS agents? Do they help the Department of Energy with the enforcement of some of these rules and regulations?
Oh, that's a good point.
Does the Department of Energy decide they're going to make some examples of some of the larger companies that are out there to actually try to show that they're enforcing it? I don't have answers to any of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, it could just be another thing. Everybody's supposed to do it. And we really don't know how it's going to be enforced or to what severity that they're going to really crack down on it. What I can tell you is every exception that we've gone back and asked for from the Department of Energy, they've said no. So they definitely...
Meaning what?
So we asked for a couple of exceptions. Like one particular example that runs into, let's say you have a piece of 16 SEER Goodman, Amana, or Daikin equipment sitting in your shop today, and you're in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that come January 1st, 2023, you have to make sure you meet the new minimum efficiency standard, which would be 15 SEER.
Yep.
Well, obviously, it's a 16 SEER piece of equipment. We have matchups that are 16 SEER, even 15 SEER.
Yeah.
But because we have a couple of matchups in the AHRI directory, that may be 14.5 SEER or 14 SEER, that disqualifies that whole entire family of equipment.
Get out of here. Really?
So
because you were able to be multifaceted and you could play well with others.
And so when now contractors called us and said, hey, in this application, I need a smaller coil. And we said, okay, on this 16-SEER piece of equipment, you can use this smaller coil, mm-hmm. and it's going to give you that 14-SEER minimum rating that you need for the southeast. Mm-hmm. You know, now that disqualifies it for this new regulation. And so what that in essence does is it says the sell-through in the southeast and in the southwest, really, you can only sell our 18-SEER product and above and continue to sell that through on the cooling side.
That's just straight cool or heat pumps?
That's straight cool. So you're in a heat pump market.
Yeah.
And so the good thing about heat pumps, that's a national standard. It's not regional.
Oh, okay.
And so because it's national standard, you're able to sell through heat pumps.
Oh, you are.
So if you're in a heat pump market, great.
Yeah.
You can keep the inventory. You can sell through everything that you've got. And that's even better yet because we think heat pumps are going to become a really big deal with the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, exactly. So transitioning into the Inflation Reduction Act, a lot of people have asked about just in general discount or rebates and that. And you talked a little bit about that yesterday. And I feel like it's a gray area. And every article that I read really beats around the bush on what you can actually do as a contractor, for the consumer.
Well, so the bottom line is nobody knows yet.
Okay.
So, you think about this. Nobody even saw this thing coming.
Right.
A month ago, Manchin wasn't talking to the Democrats. They didn't think that they were going to get anything passed. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, you have this secret conference where they all go behind doors and they come out and say, hey, we got this brand new Inflation Reduction Act. And everybody's like, where'd that come from? And so now everybody's starting to go through it. And basically, so there's two pieces, right? You've got a tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And that federal tax credit, as long as you have the tax liability to be able to get that tax credit, is going to encourage people to go to high efficiency heat pumps.
And that's a tax credit.
That's a tax credit.
Okay, not
and
a rebate.
So we know how popular the $1,500 tax credit was on furnaces.
Yeah.
It drove a lot of sales for a lot of guys out there. So this tax credit will, again, drive a lot of sales for a lot of the people out there when we take a look at it. But then added to that is this brand new rebate.
Yeah.
And so this is a check. This is cash money.
And this is the big numbers we've been seeing.
This is the $8,000.
Yeah.
And so they divided consumers up into three categories. You have your low income, and that's defined as they earn 80% or less than the median income in their area. Here's why everything is gray. All of this is going to be administered at the state level. So the state has to go and they have to now put a definition to those terms. What does the term area mean? So does that mean a metropolitan marketplace? Does it mean a zip code? Does it mean a section of the state? Does it mean the whole state?
Yeah.
And so every state's going to interpret that differently. They're going to come out with their own rule.
Ooh-wee.
Then, well, what does high efficiency mean?
Right. Two-stage?
So.
Or inverter?
And that's why nobody can tell you anything.
Or is it going to be SEER rating?
Each state is going to be different. And
now,
so
now even the high efficiency is going to be per state?
How they interpret
that
particular set of regulations.
Get out of here.
And so no state, to my knowledge, at this point in time, has said, here's our plan. I think every state.
Is there a deadline?
No. And so
golly.
They could. If a state really got their act together and pushed, they could start on January 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may have a couple of states or a handful of them that actually say, on January 1, here's our plan. We're ready to move forward. There's going to be other states that maybe take 6 months or a year because this is a 10-year program.
Okay.
It's not a one-year program and then it needs to be renewed.
Mm.
This Inflation Reduction Act goes on for the next 10 years. So it's going to be transformative to our industry when you have something that lasts that long. But going back to it, so that low-income group, they get $8,000 back, up to $8,000, depending on how much they spend. So if they bought a new heat pump for $6,000, they would get $6,000 back. If they bought a new heat pump for $8,000, they get $8,000 back.
So then all of our systems are, if we're selling an average of $10,000 systems, now all of our systems are going to $18,000.
or 8,000. Give it away for free, right?
Whatever it is, yeah.
You know, you got to decide what you do as a contractor, and each contractor is going to have to figure that out. For the medium income, yeah. So this is if they're in between 80% and 150% of the median household income mm-hmm. in that particular marketplace, that particular group of people will get $8,000 back, but it's 50% of the total price. So if you sell a $16,000 system, they would get $8,000 back. If it was a $10,000 system, they would get $5,000 back.
And that's so a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Plus, they could get the tax credit.
Oh, yeah. And so how much was the tax credit again?
$2,000.
Great. Time of day.
So they could get $10,000 back if yeah. they have that tax liability. And so now you start to unpack this. Back to all of these.
Are the manufacturers going to be able to keep up with this? Because this could potentially just be like, oh, we're not replacing any, we're not changing any part. Your compressor's bad, let's change whole systems out because you're going to get $8,000 back anyway.
Yeah, if I can give you a system for, in essence, free.
Yeah, exactly.
And
give you a 10-year warranty.
Yes.
That's just a snowball effect of equipment if we're already in an equipment shortage situation, like.
So we look at our industry, right? I don't think people are going to go rush out and buy brand new heat pumps unless they need it, right? One of the statistics that we know, 80% of all consumers buy HVAC systems in a reactive mode.
Yeah.
I have no heat. I have no cooling. We need to do something. Mm-hmm. 20% are proactive. Mm-hmm. So there may be a certain percentage of proactive customers that just say, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the local state agencies will be marketing and promoting this. You know, here's the takeaways for the contractors. Costs are not going to go down anytime soon. Mm-mm. Costs are going to keep going up. With that being said, if costs keep going up because of all of these new regulations that we have, making systems affordable is going to be more important than ever before. If you are an HVAC contractor and you are not leading with financing
yes.
on every single job you go out on, you are missing out on a ton of opportunity.
Are you leading with the monthly payment?
And I would go as far to say as, do you think an automobile dealership could be in business without offer financing today?
No.
The same is going to be true for HVAC contractors. If you think you can continue to run your business without leading with financing,
mm-hmm.
you will not be in business.
Honestly, I don't personally know. Maybe one HVAC company that doesn't have financing available, even if it's not, if not leading with it. Because like ours, it shows this is your monthly payment.
Yep.
And then you can swipe over and see the total price if that's what you want.
We've been going out and doing this 2023 roadshow all year long. And I would say it is safe to say that about 30, maybe even 40% of the contractors that we've been in front of don't have financing available.
Not even available. If they had to hand write it on a piece of paper.
And then a majority of contractors are not leading with financing.
Man, there's so much more that could be closed, even repairs that can be.
Well, because our job, and everybody complains, right? Well, the prices are going up. I'm pricing myself out of the market. It's not price. It's affordability.
That's
if you don't offer financing, you're not making your system affordable. And that's the biggest deal here is you got to make your systems affordable. And so financing is key. The other thing I'm going to say, all contractors need to have a digital presence. You have to have a website. If you don't have a website, you need to get one.
There's people who don't have websites.
There's contractors without websites. There's contractors that refuse to go on social media. You know, I get all my business through word of mouth.
Yeah, I hear that.
And I hear this on a consistent basis. But what I can tell you is maximize on making sure you have a page for the Inflation Reduction Act. How many consumers do you think in the marketplaces are going to be Googling Inflation Reduction Act? And so you need to be the expert.
I have to edit that one out in case my competitors listen to that one.
You need to make sure that you're leading there. If you don't have a page for heat pumps, you need a page for heat pumps. Because consumers are going to be Googling heat pumps, and they want to know about heat pump installation, heat pump service, heat pump rebates. These are all the things. So think like a consumer. Put your consumer hat on. With all of the information that's going to be going out there, are you on page one of Google for these searches in your local market spot? If you're not on page one for Google in these local market spots, then you need to work with your web provider and make sure that you're getting to those spots and those positions.
So here's my question with that. Due to the lack of, or the massive amount of uncertainty, how am I going to build a website page currently?
So, you know,
in your opinion,
again, going back to HVAC contractors, majority of HVAC contractors got into this business because they were a great service tech.
Absolutely.
They were a great installer. Maybe a couple of them got into it because they were a great business person. Mm-hmm. I don't know many that got into this business because they were a great digital marketer. And so will tell you from every business out there, partner up with somebody that you trust, that you like. Find a reputable company. Don't do it with, you know, friends, families, felons. You know, if it's free, it's probably not a good deal.
That's true.
You go find a reputable company that you trust and work with them, just like you do in everything else in your business. You know, I would say, you know, tax laws are complicated. How many contractors are doing all their taxes on their own, or do you have an accountant?
Yeah.
You have to find the professionals that are really good at what they do so that you can be really good at what you do.
Yeah, you find someone that's good and the ROI is there.
Right.
You know, it's sure, it's an expense, but it pays for itself.
Absolutely.
As long as they're good. Yeah. That's really cool. Anything else that I missed here?
You know, if I can just leave with those two simple things, I think that's a lot to digest for a lot of people.
It is.
Financing is going to be key. And it's not financing just to finance. It's for affordability.
Mm-hmm.
Make systems affordable.
There's so many people who live on payments.
They do.
I mean, they don't pay cash for a car. They don't pay cash for their house, you know.
And there's new tools coming out every day in the financing world. I mean, I know of programs where you can get somebody approved that has a 400 FICO score.
Yeah.
And I know of programs that allows people to have worry-free comfort, where they just subscribe to comfort, and that's the only payment they ever make. Mm-hmm. All of their tune-ups are covered, all of their services covered, and every 10 years they get a new system.
Mm-hmm.
That locks the customer into you.
Yeah.
But if you're not taking advantage of all of these great new tools that are out there, again, somebody in your marketplace is.
You're going to be Blockbuster.
And you're going to be the one left behind.
Yep.
We have to, you know, in the words of Charlie Greer, I love him, evolve or die.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always evolving. We're always moving forward, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Ben, I really appreciate you. If somebody has more questions, what's the best way for them to connect with you or see where you're going to be at next?
So the best thing to do is go to the HVAC Learning Campus, hvaclearningcampus.com. And you'll see all of our training events that we have coming up. There is no username. There is no password. We've got a ton of pre-recorded content on there. If you want to look at all the video resources we have free digital downloads. If you're looking for a sheet that's going to help you, you know, with your P&L and having all of the different the different accounting numbers that you need.
Yeah.
We've got great stuff, resources to help you implement flat rate pricing in your business. But there's just a ton of resources that we wanted to make available to the entire industry. So if you go to hvaclearningcampus.com, also there's an Ask a Coach section. So if you have a question, put the question in there, and we guarantee our coaches will get back to you within 24 hours. And if we see enough of a question coming up, we'll probably put together some sort of a segment that we can get out there and put a recorded version available to answer those questions that you guys have.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate that.
All right.
Cool. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.